Welcome back, one and all, to the Aaron Schwartz. Me, John Arola, and today, Yasmin Leah Khan. Yasmin, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, John. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fresh off my vacation, which for the most part was a time to recover, recuperate from, you know, the inevitable creeping burnout of doing the news. It was also technically my honeymoon.
Congratulations.
My wife and I. Thank you. We only had to wait about 2 years.
A little overdue, I was going to say.
Yeah, there was some stuff that happened over the past couple of years that made honeymoons hard. The relaxation part of it was undercut a bit by me getting violently ill on my last day during the trip, but I'm feeling 80% of the way back. So,
you know, we'll take it and I will do my best to make up your extra, you're lacking 20%. I'll give 120% of me on your behalf.
If it was just me solo, this would be like most 80% of a good show, but I think we can exceed 100% right now somehow. But anyway, I see people in the chat taunting me. John is guest hosting again, thanks. People were hopeful that either Jessica and or Francesca were permanent fill-ins. Thanks everybody, glad to be back. But anyway, Yaz, I'm glad to have you here. What have you been up to on Rebel HQ?
Rebel HQ, we've been up to a lot. So I just finished working on a video today that's gonna be out later. And we're talking about quiet quitting and how a lot of Gen Z and millennials are doing this thing called quiet quitting, which is a bit of a misnomer. It's not really quitting, but it's people who are refusing to do more than what's being asked for them. They don't wanna go above and beyond for little to no reward or pay in return. So there's a bit of the different outlets are covering this very differently. As you can imagine on Fox News, they're calling people lazy and entitled. And other outlets are saying this is a real wake up call for people and their mental health and what the workplace is doing to us.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes total sense for Fox. Because Fox, of course, 5% of the time they're gonna imply they're the only news outlet. They're the only people who are there to represent those who've been left behind and exploited by the establishment. But then as soon as it comes to actually standing up for workers, they have no time for that. They're not interested whatsoever.
The entitlement, right?
Is that already up on Rebel HQ?
It's not up yet, but it's coming soon.
Okay, awesome. So everyone stay tuned for that. And you can of course subscribe to Rebel HQ. So you'll see Yaz's video when it goes up and a whole bunch of other people, awesome content there. For today though, we've got a lot to talk about. And what we normally try to do on the show is me and the team, we scour the news. We get all the interesting stuff and give it to you. I did on my trip a very good job, an admirable job, I think, of completely ignoring the news and social media. So for the first time ever, I'm gonna be learning about the news at the exact same time as you. No, I'm kidding. I'm at least somewhat familiar with it. But anyway, we're gonna be giving you updates on the FBI investigation of Donald Trump. Some more details there. Rudy Giuliani's ask from Trump for the legal services that he provided. I think this is hilarious. Some climate news could be good, could be absolutely terrible. Stay tuned to find out, and a whole lot more besides. We're also gonna be talking about the metaverse later on and Mark Zuckerberg and his attempt to make it appealing. So that's gonna be fun too. In advance of that, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, that would be great so that people know the stream is live. And if you wanna send us any comments, tweets or super chats, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Yaz, are you ready to start the show?
Yes, I'm ready when you are.
Okay, hold on. Okay,
there. I think I'm good. There we go.
Let's do it. We're finding out little dribs and drabs about why the FBI, why the DOJ felt like they needed to raid Mar-a-Lago in search of classified documents. And a lot of information has been provided, but over the last day or two, we've gotten some more, including that in the previous transfer of documents that had happened in multiple stages before the raid, people in the Trump orbit had given back 150 classified documents, which is already mind-blowing, absolutely insane that in those initial transfers of documents, that many classified documents would be transferred. That is by far more documents than Trump himself ever actually read while being president, but he felt like he had to have them. But in the end, when you add that to the documents that were acquired from Mar-a-Lago during the raid just a couple of weeks ago, the government has recovered more than 300 documents with classified markings. There are many other documents, but these are the ones specifically classified as classified. And so if you wanted to understand why they felt like they needed to do this, everybody's saying it's unprecedented. It's crazy that you do this. Well, to do something unprecedented. I don't know, maybe if you already had evidence that he had over 100 documents and you had reason to believe from the sources you had inside of Mar-a-Lago that there were more, then that might be why you would feel like we need to go in. And so they did. And when they went to Mar-a-Lago, like we've talked about the storage closet and stuff like that, apparently they also found White House records in the basement and in the closet in Donald Trump's office, which I love. Let's pause there for just a second, because these documents are classified and thus, you know, ostensibly important. And they're particularly important to Donald Trump. And we know that because he still had them at this point. So they were important enough to him that he took them from the White House, knowing that he wasn't supposed to. It was important enough that along multiple times when they transferred documents back to the National Archives or to the DOJ, he held on to these ones. So it's that important, but not important enough to not just put in the closet. Like, think about the documents of yours that you have in your closet. They're things that might matter to you in some way. I have some of my notes that I took as a kid in elementary school, a little bit of the really cringeworthy creative writing that I've done. And I wouldn't want to lose that stuff, but I'm not like checking it every day to go to all that trouble and then to just leave it in the basement. Yes, that just seems weird. Like, if this is that important to you, have it out on display, put it up on the wall.
Well, he was upset because they busted into his safe and he couldn't believe that they had the audacity to bust into his safe. But it's like what you were talking about. I mean, he had actually been subpoenaed for these documents several times, like a few times they asked him for this stuff back. The National Archives said, hey, we're missing some things. Do you have them? Can we have them? They arranged for people to go pick them up and Donald Trump still held on to more. Then they asked for more of the stuff they were missing and he still held on to more, and now he's upset that the FBI had to come in and just take it for themselves.
Yeah, they were hot to get into the safe, but honestly, yeah. Is there any reason to believe that what was in the safe was any worse than the stuff was in the basement?
Who knows?
It's this weird mix of really seeming to want this stuff, being willing to break the law to have it, but not seeming to really care about it once you have it.
I think he probably thought he was like untouchable. Like once it's at Mar-a-Lago, no one would dare come in there. And everyone who does come in is like one of his people. But now he's worried that somebody's wearing a wire and things like that. So he's very paranoid now. And I guess he has reason to be. So I guess I don't blame him.
Yeah, I think it was probably a safe bet that once he had it there, that nothing would happen. But I'm gonna say before we move on, because there is reason to believe that the stuff that they acquired was important. Like my knee-jerk reaction to the way he treated the documents implied to me that maybe it was stuff that was more personally important to him than stuff that was just really crucial and potentially damaging. Now I could be wrong, he's an insane person, but I would think that if it was, like core technological information about like nuclear defense or something, you'd put that in the safe, wouldn't you? Like, what is the stuff that you would just leave in the basement? That to me makes it seem more like it's personal communications and things like that. I mean, this is just a gut reaction.
I feel like you're giving him too much credit sometimes, because like it's like what you said, he's not a normal person. He doesn't think the way that most people think. So I don't know if he understands the gravity of the things that he had. I mean, obviously he kept them, so maybe he kind of does, but maybe it was more like a leverage thing. Maybe he was like, oh, I can use this for something else later. You know, I don't think he was thinking of like how dangerous it is to have these nuclear documents at your house on Mar-a-Lago, at your personal private property. I don't think he's thinking along those terms. I think he just thinks differently from most people, especially most people in those kind of positions. He's not normal, John. That's it.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to be fair, and that's probably a waste of time. Honestly, again, I would love to know, and maybe we'll find out more detailed information about exactly what was reacquired from Mar-a-Lago. Because I'm gonna want to go through just for my own purposes and try to figure out why he wanted each type of thing. I'm trying to think, like, if I had taken documents after being president, it would definitely be stuff about aliens and about like technology that corporations didn't want to get out, like the really interesting conspiratorial stuff. Like, what is he gonna do?
Actual conspiracy theories, yeah.
And the real ones.
The real things. And it's so funny to me because so many of these conspiracy theorists that we have, you know, all the QAnon people, all the very, very MAGA Trump people, they have all these conspiracy theories that they're just making up. And it's like, there's real stuff going on that I'm sure is way more interesting than whatever you're conjuring up. And what is that thing that they do with the numbers? Do you know what I'm talking about? The what?
Numerology, where you're figuring out secret meanings and numbers? Like,
it starts with a G. I can't think of the word. Gemography, something. I don't know. But it's they're using the Michael Jackson song now. ABC, easy is 1, 2, 3 now. And they're like, oh, Michael Jackson, he's in on it. And Michael Jackson's not dead either. So
that's Catch a Butterfly is saying like gematria.
Real interesting stuff happening at Mar-a-Lago.
Is gematria the thing that you're?
That's the one. Yeah, gematria. I kept wanting to say gemography, which just sounds like geography. That's not right.
That seems like a specific kind of numerology to me, but I'm not very familiar with it. Yeah. But anyway, perhaps, I don't know, maybe they'll go through it in that respect. I'm gonna jump ahead to graphic 4 because I'm giving you my gut, thinking that this seems maybe like it's more personal, but apparently, just in the ones that he handed over back in January, the documents. They included documents from the CIA, the NSA, and the FBI, which, again, I'm gonna waste a few seconds of your time to point out hypocrisy, even if that was the only thing that had happened. And then there was nothing left. There were no other documents. There were no rats. There was no need to go to Mar-a-Lago. Think about if it was Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, and they had the documents from like multiple different intelligence agencies. Do you think a lot of right wingers would be on TV saying, well, you know, instantly if they wanted to be declassified, it's probably declassified. It's that simple. They probably had a standing order. As soon as they pick it up and put it down, it's declassified if they want. Nobody would be saying that. But this is just one fact in a number of different facts that are already so damning. And that has not convinced any of these people to take it seriously. Now, there are a few other interesting details that have come about in the last couple of days, including from the New York Times recent reporting. One is that apparently Mr. Trump went through the boxes himself late last year. This is according to multiple people. This is before he turned over the documents that they gave in January, which I find to be fascinating. The idea of Trump like hunched over a bunch of boxes in the basement of Mar-a-Lago, like flipping through the papers, having no idea what any of the words mean. And that is interesting for a couple of reasons. So one is that he went through it. Why did he go through it? Did he go through it to make sure that they were complying with the law? No, they kept apparently like 150 more documents that were classified. So it wasn't that. So what was it? It was clearly him filtering what he'll allow to go back and what he wouldn't allow to go back, which means that after that special Trump cull that had happened, then whatever they just got in this last raid was the stuff that was most personally important to him, that he especially wanted to have, which makes it even spicier. But again, the idea that he would be looking through the documents that he ignored throughout his entire presidency as, it just seems crazy. It seems crazy that he
was
in all this trouble.
Didn't he notoriously just not read anything? Like he would just have people give him kind of bullet points about things. So yeah, the idea of him sitting, like that's like me, whenever I'm going through my old stuff in the closet and you're sitting on the floor, you're surrounded by all these papers and you're going through every single one of them. That's a ridiculous mental image for everyone, mm-hmm. I'm sure. But yeah, and he doesn't read anything. So what does he know about what he's actually picking up and what actually matters and what actually doesn't, you know? But I'm not gonna try to understand the method to the madness that we're dealing with.
Yeah, you want a bit more madness though? Here's the madness. So they turned over some documents. They turned over the like 12 boxes of documents. Then there was suspicion that there were more. And so they went to Mar-a-Lago, they got a whole bunch more documents. And so that's the end of it, right? No, apparently not. The Justice Department investigation is continuing, and not just analysis of what they already have. Some officials are not certain whether they recovered all the presidential records that Mr. Trump took with him from the White House. And investigators have sought additional surveillance footage from the club to try to figure that out. And honestly, yeah, I would probably suspect that I hadn't gotten all of it either, because like first glance, he could maybe keep stuff in the closet or in the basement, thinking, as you implied earlier, that they would never come to his home and take documents. That seems like a fairly safe bet for anyone to make, And he's very arrogant and also dumb. And so it's even easier for him to make that assumption. On the other hand, it's not like he doesn't have a bunch of other places to keep documents, potentially secret places inside of Mar-a-Lago or at the many other, you know, pieces of property that he owns. So in theory, could he have sequestered some especially important documents somewhere else and then kept the ones that he did at Mar-a-Lago, either again thinking that they'd probably be safe, but if they weren't, then once those are recovered, they'll think they got everything. I don't know. Like, he clearly was trying to hold on to stuff. That's why he went through the documents. And so why would we assume that everything that was left would be left in Mar-a-Lago? Now, there's no evidence presented in this reporting about why the DOJ thinks this, or if they have good reason to believe the documents were put somewhere else, but or the documents weren't copied before they were turned back over. I mean, let's bear in mind, it would be very easy to just have some interns or Eric or whatever copy all the documents before they send them back to the DOJ. I don't even know how you'd figure that out on surveillance footage, but I get why they seem to think that there could be a lot more to this.
Yeah, and it's like what you said, he's very dumb and he's very arrogant and he relies very heavily on the people that he's decided to keep in his corner. And now, you know, there's all these rumors and all these speculations that there's a rat somewhere in his midst, that there's a mole somewhere who's reporting all these things and cooperating with the DOJ right now. And also, we're dealing with the National Archive here. They know what they're supposed to have and what they're missing. They're record keepers, that's their job. So they know what they're missing and they know what they're looking for. They're looking for very specific documents that they need to get back.
Yeah, you're probably right. Documents that they consider theirs by law. Trump has a different way of looking at it. This is one of my favorite graphics in a while. So according to this reporting, two former White House officials who had been designated as among Mr. Trump's representatives with the National Archives received calls and tried to facilitate the documents return. So they were trying to do what they were supposed to do. Take the call, go to Trump, get the documents, send them back. Mr. Trump resisted those calls, describing the boxes of documents as mine, according to three advisors familiar with his comments. I mean, it's not like we need more evidence of him being a little baby, but mine, they're my documents.
I mean, you know what that is, John? It's narcissism, right? And it's like a very typical narcissistic trait where people think that once you have access to something or have gained access to something, it's yours now, you keep it. You don't let go of things that you think are yours. So you can have these national documents that belong to the people, they belong to the National Archive. And in his mind, no, that's mine, I did that, you know? And it's not, that's not how the presidency works. Everyone knows that's not how the presidency works. That's not even how jobs work. If you get fired from a job, you don't get to keep the stuff. You don't get to keep the documents and just take them home with you. Everyone else knows that, but this is Donald Trump that we're dealing with. And so he thinks that they are his, they're mine. Yeah. It's very weird. Right.
Yeah, they're really not yours. No. Anyway, we can jump ahead to graphic 9, I think. Should we read the Trump? Let's read the Trump statement. I guess we should acknowledge his response to some of this, at least briefly. He truthed earlier this morning. The White House stated strongly that they were not involved and knew absolutely nothing about the political witch hunt going on with me, and that they didn't know anything at all about the break-in, which is capitalized and has a dash for some reason, of Mar-a-Lago. This was strongly reiterated again and again, wrong. Remember, these are the people who spied on my campaign, denied it and got caught. Through the great reporting of John Solomon, fake Pulitzer Prize. Documents reveal they knew everything, in fact led the charge, a political no-no. So that right there is a reference to John Solomon, this guy who just for years just spread just absolutely debunked conspiracy theories on places like The Hill and stuff like that, trying to distract from the Ukraine issues for Donald Trump with these made up things about uranium and everything. He released this letter that he believes, and Trump apparently believes, although in Trump's defense, he definitely didn't read the letter, shows that Biden did know about the raid on Mar-a-Lago. The letter, of course, does not show that at all. What the letter shows is that President Biden was asked something about some of these National Archives disputes and apparently said, you all handle it. I'm not getting involved. You all can figure out what you want to do. He did reject the supposed claims of executive privilege, which Donald Trump would apply to literally every communication he's ever had, even though that's not what it's for. And that's pretty much it. Now, the fact that the letter doesn't in any way show that Biden was involved or signed off on the raid or any of that, in fact, buttresses Biden's stance that he stayed out of it, will mean absolutely nothing to the right. They will believe what they are told to believe about this document. They will look into it even less than Donald Trump did. And so I have no doubt that by the end of today, every single Fox show is going to be saying Biden personally not just signed off on the raid, but he was in there. He put on FBI vest and he was searching through boxes and going through Melania's clothes and stuff.
Yeah, with his aviator sunglasses on. It's a really nice visual. But it's funny because, I mean, obviously there's hypocrisy here that is not being addressed because, you know, if it was anybody else, if it was any other, if it was anything that Trump has done, which is what they're doing now, right? Trump is like heavily involved in all these things, but no, it wasn't directly tied to him. He wasn't directly involved in any of this. It doesn't matter. With Joe Biden, he's a president, so he's responsible for everything that goes on during his time as the president, whether or not he's directly involved in it. So it's you know, two different stories for two different presidents, two different tales from two different opposite ends of the spectrum.
How would you act if you were Donald Trump and your home had just been raided and they took a bunch of documents and you were innocent? You hadn't done anything wrong. The documents that you had were nothing bad, nothing particularly damaging. How would you act if that was the truth? Probably not the way he's acting right now, but I'll let you decide. He has filed a lawsuit just yesterday asking a federal judge to appoint a special master to oversee a review of classified documents and other materials seized from Mar-a-Lago. It also asked the court to order the FBI to return any information taken from Trump's property that went beyond the scope of the search warrant. So let's be very clear. This lawsuit asks for this special master, which is a weird term, to be the one to review the documents, which means the FBI has to stop reviewing the documents. Immediately, they can no longer review what was taken. So let me ask you, is that more consistent with Donald Trump being innocent and there being nothing wrong with the documents? Or would it be the thing that you'd want to do if you believe that there was something damaging in there? Which do you think? So this would stop them from overseeing it. It would get this extra like a retired judge or someone like that to look over it. He'd get some documents back. Anyway, that's amazing, I think, and damning. But so much of his response has been. But there's also some great quotes here from this document that was put forth as part of the legal filing that in places seems like a lawyer probably wrote it. But there's other parts that definitely seem like Donald Trump had some involvement. Like there were questions that were asked of the DOJ, like, why did you raid my house? It literally said my house, which is not how a lawyer would word it, I don't think. It doesn't even seem like a lawyer reviewed it afterward. But anyway, let's give you a little bit of this. He says, to date, the government has failed to legitimize its historic decision to raid the home of a president who had been fully cooperative. Except for the hundreds of documents that were classified that you have. So not only does that kind of legitimize it, but you can hardly say that you were being fully cooperative when you kept multiple boxes of classified materials. Like you got caught, but do you realize that we already know about that? Maybe you could have said that before we found out what they found, but that was a week ago at this point. How are you still claiming that you were fully cooperative? And of course, he says that it was illegal and unconstitutional without claiming why exactly that would be. Says he's taking all actions necessary to get the documents back, which is of course the most important thing, not the national security concerns. It's about him getting the documents again. He says we would have given to them without the necessity of the despicable raid of my home. See, what he is doing there is he is making this a hypothetical. I would have given you the documents. You didn't have to raid my home, except they already asked for the documents for months and months and months. You handed over a bunch of documents in January after you personally went through the documents. You didn't hand these back. Why are you engaging in pointless hypotheticals when we're 6 months past that? First of all, you never should have taken them. Or if you wanted them to be declassified, some of which you are not capable of declassifying, even if you went through the right process, you could have actually engaged in that process, couldn't you have? You chose not to do any of that. So don't waste our time with hypotheticals when you've already been caught out in multiple ways. Anyway, yeah,
and
what do you,
you know, it's been like, what, 2 weeks since this actually happened, since the FBI showed up at Mar-a-Lago. And the talking points have been so wild that it's almost, it's a joke at this point, right? Every excuse that he could think of, he's thrown out there, and it's been immediately debunked, you know. And everybody keeps saying this is unprecedented that, you know, the former president would have his private property raided by the FBI. But it's also very unprecedented to have a president who's done so much of what Donald Trump has done. This is just the last, the most recent thing that we know about that he's done. And then, you know, news organizations are being told not to speculate about different things going on because more information keeps coming out. Republican lawmakers are being told to kind of separate themselves from Donald Trump because we don't know what more is about to come out. So for example, whenever on Fox News, when they were saying, why didn't the Department of Justice just subpoena the documents? Why didn't they do that? And then it came out a couple of days later that they did. They asked him multiple times and he refused to turn it over. So whatever excuses that they keep trying to come up with, they keep getting debunked in a way that just makes Trump look even more guilty, even more just unhinged and, you know, less connected with the world and the way things are supposed to work.
Yeah. Yeah. And it makes his defenders, as you just described, look ridiculous because they're continually trying to help him, even though like he could, in theory, protect them from making stupid claims that will immediately be contradicted, but he doesn't care to. And while it makes them look ridiculous to us, of course, there's not that much damage that can be done because their audience isn't gonna care. They get their information all from them. But like imagine if Bernie Sanders was just constantly involved in scandals. And every day I came out and defended him. And then the next day it turned out that it was total BS and he knew it was. I'd like to think the audience would notice that pattern eventually. But on Fox, that's not the way it works. Anyway.
Well, because they never acknowledge that what he did was wrong. If you just never acknowledge it, then your audience never has to think about it. And over the course of several years, your audience just gets used to just defending something that is really indefensible by any other standards.
Yeah, 100%. Well, they cited in this legal filing, for some reason, a quote that we had read for you like a week ago. And it was, President Trump wants the attorney general to know that he's been hearing from all over the country about the raid. If there was one word to describe their mood, it is angry. The heat is building up, the pressure is building up. Whatever I can do to take the heat down, to bring the pressure down, just let us know. So that's his threat. It's saying, hey, I know everybody is like crazy angry because of all the absolute BS that we're saying about the raid. And I know that when he put out that statement originally, the guy had already attacked the FBI headquarters in Cincinnati. There have been any number of death threats since then. If he wanted to take the heat down, the pressure down, he could do that instantly. He has chosen not to. He didn't do it after the attack on the FBI. He hasn't done it since then at all. And what do you know? The pressure continues to build because that's the entire point. So for instance, some people now, more people are going to Truth Social to hear more of this BS. They're fired up about this even more. Like the Dems might be enthusiastic about this or whatever, but they're not as ecstatic as the right is about this. Downloads of Trump's Truth Social spiked to nearly 88,000 in the week following the raid, which still seems kind of pathetically low, but that is a big increase for them. And according to John Lewis, an extremism researcher at George Washington University, it's not people saying, let's have a reasonable discussion about this or let's see what happens. It's let's kill FBI agents. Yeah. And so he knows about the heat. He knows about the pressure. He could take it down, but why would he? His the perception of him in his audience, his reputation or whatever. Like, do you know how many dead FBI agents it would take to cancel that out in his mind? More than there are. More than there are FBI agents. He doesn't care. You back the blue metaphorically, not the actual people. You back the concept of police because you believe that they're there to uphold white supremacy. But if a cop gets in your way when you're trying to overthrow the results of an election, you beat that cop to death with a Trump flag. That's what you do. You care about it as a metaphor, not the actual people. The FBI are there to fulfill your will as president. But once they become inconvenient, then they can all be assassinated. It doesn't matter. That's the way that it actually works. And if you're on the right and you're watching this, these are inconvenient facts for you, I guess, but you gotta come to grips with them. You guys don't actually care about the military or the cops or the FBI. You care about them when they're cracking down on George Floyd protests, whatever, when they're murdering migrants at the border or something like that, when they're killing unarmed black people. But as soon as they, like, I don't know, get in the way of you and your political aspirations, then you guys are advocating for killing as many of them as possible. That's just the way that it works in America.
Yeah, and as far as like Donald Trump taking any kind of responsibility for this and maybe getting some of the heat off of these FBI agents who are just doing their jobs, who are actually just like cops doing their jobs, right? Let's just say that is what happened there. He doesn't have a conscience, right? I think people still expect too much from him in that respect. I think after years of him being Donald Trump, even before he was president, he was not a great person. We know that, right? We know that he was terrible for a long time before he even got to be president. And now we know how terrible he's been for the last, you know, what year is this even? The last 7, 8 years, right? We know that he's terrible. He doesn't have a conscience. He doesn't care about the things that he says. He doesn't care about consequences because he doesn't have to. He's never been made to care about any of this up until now. And you know, some people dying somewhere else or some people getting death threats, that's not his problem because it's not affecting him directly. And I think people still underestimate how little he cares about other people. And yeah. I think we gotta stop.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back though, as important as what we were just talking about was, this stuff that we're gonna get into on Rudy Giuliani, I think is far more fun. This guy is in some ways even more disconnected from reality than Donald Trump, and we'll describe how after this. You might recall that in the aftermath of the 2020 election, while the Trump camp and his inner circle engaged in a whole lot of illegal and absolutely humiliating attempts to overturn the results of the election, nobody really had it worse than this guy over here. Rudy Giuliani made an absolute fool of himself. And one of the most pathetic parts of it, other than maybe the Borat stuff, was that he did all of this with apparently no real payment. He was putting in long days of work, flying all over the country, losing court case after court case without making much. But he did want something, and it was a lot actually. So an associate of his apparently tried to pass a message to Donald Trump asking him to grant Giuliani a general pardon, which again is what you do when you're innocent, and also the Presidential Medal of Freedom. This comes just after the January 6th insurrection. Which again, remember, Giuliani spoke at the rally beforehand and called for like trial by combat or something. Anyway, he wanted the Presidential Medal of Freedom, of course. Maria Ryan, who's that associate of Giuliani's, also pleaded for Mr. Giuliani to be paid for his services, which is just so pathetic. And Maria also requested tens of thousands of dollars for herself. For what? I have no idea. But she apparently wanted it. This is being revealed in a new book, Giuliani, The Rise and Tragic Fall of America's Mayor. In it, Maria Ryan wrote, as you know, he lost his job and income and more defending you during the Russia hoax investigation and then the impeachment pro bono. Ryan requested $2.5 million for Giuliani's legal services and expenses, $45,000 for her own services, and of course the pardon and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And honestly, as embarrassing as all of it is, the idea that he would get $2.5 million, I like that he threw in the Medal of Freedom, because honestly, why not? At the tail end of the first Trump term, what did that medal mean anymore? Why not give it to Giuliani for sweating himself ragged on live TV? I think he earned it as much as any of the Trump people did, Yaz.
And for giving that ridiculous press conference in front of the Four Seasons, which was obviously not the Four Seasons, like just so many things. And I mean, you have to ask, you know, what does Trump or what does anybody have on Rudy? And how did Rudy fall from wherever he was to whatever he is today? It's very strange, his trajectory, the course that his life has taken. And one of his former associates, he just said, you know, that Donald Trump stole Rudy Giuliani's soul. He doesn't have a soul anymore. He's a shadow of whoever he once was. And yeah, the thing with asking for the Presidential Medal of Freedom, I always have issues with things like this, with awards and medals or whatever, because it really is only as valuable as people make it out to be, right? It has no actual value, it's all implied value. And something like the Medal of Freedom, the value of it has dwindled so much that we just have people like Rudy Giuliani just asking for one. Can I just have one? You know, he didn't do anything to earn it. He's not like particularly one of the best people in the country right now, but he's not like a champion for freedom. He's the opposite of that, but he just wants one. So, you know, maybe yeah. I'll just get one of those.
It's kind of amazing he didn't just give them to all of them. Give them to his kids, give them to Ivana, Vodka.
Doesn't
why
need anything
not?
Anymore. Yeah, just doesn't, everyone have matter. One. Just take one.
Yeah.
I'll take we, one. Maybe, you know what? I don't ask for things. So maybe I should have asked for a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Maybe this time, talk to Biden. We should make a medal. We should have a Dragon Squad medal that we give
Can I
to
have
people
one?
And it will be
worth. I'll ask, right? This is my
if you earn
request.
It.
I want a medal. I want a medal.
Well, I'll consider it, okay? This is going to be worth a lot, so I have to have a very high bar.
Okay, John, whatever. Do
anyway.
What I think is best. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But anyway, before we move on, because there are more embarrassing details here, we read the stuff from Maria Ryan, and there was a lot that was embarrassing there. Did you catch what was most embarrassing about that? You might think it was the wanting $2.5 million or the general request to be paid for the work you did. All of that is embarrassing. The thinking that he should get the Medal of Freedom, that must be the most embarrassing, right? Or is it that he wants a pardon when he totally didn't commit any crime? No, that's not the most embarrassing thing. The most embarrassing thing, and it's subtle, is that Maria Ryan had tried to pass this message to Mr. Trump. Do you know why she had to do that? Because apparently Trump wasn't talking to Giuliani. Why is she doing this? Why is Giuliani, who is a longtime close associate of Trump, not making this request himself? Apparently Trump wasn't returning his calls. The fact that you have to have an intermediary, you've been like just rolling all across the country, humiliating yourself, and you can't request this stuff yourself, man, like. There are a lot of people who have truly debased themselves for Donald Trump, but I don't know if there's anyone who has made themselves more humiliated than Rudy Giuliani, this poor schlub.
Oh,
anyway,
yeah. Mr. It's so embarrassing.
It's so terrible.
It's like painfully embarrassing. It's so bad. You know, Rudy Giuliani would be a good candidate for quiet quitting because he's working way too hard and he's not getting paid for it. He's one of the people who needs to quietly quit and just do what's expected of him. Do what you're getting paid to do,
minimum.
Rudy, whatever that is these days. Just
exactly.
Do that.
Oh my God. So I have to read this just because it's awful. The Times has previously reported that Mr. Trump told aides that Mr. Giuliani was only to be, quote, paid on the come, which is a term used in the casino game craps. And I would like to make a humble request that nobody ever use that term again. But anyway, it means you only get paid if you succeed, which, in Giuliani's defense, I assume is not how this was presented to him. I assume it was not his perception that he would only be paid if they successfully overturn the election. But if that is the way it was presented to him, and he still decided to do it, knowing there was no chance that this was gonna succeed, then he is the dumbest doink to ever doink around America, legally at the very least. How could you have thought that it was gonna be worth your time? Was he not paid at least for airfare? Like it had to, it's not just an opportunity cost of all of the cameos he could have been doing instead of losing all these court cases, but he was flying all over the place. That's gotta cost a lot of money. Anyway.
I mean, maybe that's why he had to do the Masked Singer. He was trying to make up some revenue that he lost, some
maybe
lost profits.
What
is the term paid on the come?
I've played a little bit of craps. It's something about, if you win on the bet, you get the money. I don't know. And honestly,
yeah,
I'm uncomfortable
yeah,
even
but
thinking
like
about it.
It sounds terrible, but I've fully committed it to my memory bank. And now it's a part of my vernacular. Thank you.
That I will use when it's applicable and when it's not.
You think I like being suspended from the practice of the law? You think I did it because I want to? You think I like being suspended from the practice of law for the ridiculous idea that I'm a danger to the country? I mean, what but a fascist state of New York accepts the notion that I should be suspended from the practice of law because I'm going to cause a riot? And it's been a year and a half and I haven't caused any riot.
I love the idea that Giuliani apparently has that causing riots should only stay on your legal credit report for so long. Like if you didn't pay, you know, the gap, after 7 years that drops off. If you haven't done a riot in like a year and a half, then you should obviously get your legal license back again. Now, of course, that is not the only reason that Giuliani was stripped of his ability to practice law. I think that they had more of a problem with him participating in literally dozens of defenses of Donald Trump where he actively lied while serving as a lawyer. I think that's probably what they had more of a problem with. But yes, it's kind of amazing that at this point in his life, obviously he's, you know, quite a bit older, things have gotten so bad for him. He still wants to get back into being a lawyer and actually defending people in court. That's crazy.
I was just gonna say, like, just retire, man. Like, you've done so much. Like, let's give you all the credit you deserve in saying that you've had a very long and like maybe a fulfilling career. I don't know what fulfills Rudy Giuliani, but he's done a lot of stuff. I think you can stop doing stuff now and it would be fine. If it's his reputation that he's worried about, that's long gone. The people who like you, and most other people just don't like you anymore and wish you would just really go away. And I mean, for every embarrassing faux pas that he's had on camera publicly, just go away and it'll be better for you. It'll be better for all of us. Just give it up. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's going to have Giuliani defend them at this point?
Yeah.
Who wants to be in the same room with him? I mean, not only because it's embarrassing, but
he needs to make up all that money that he lost from Trump. So maybe that's part of it.
I guess. Yeah. So you said he should just retire. I was actually thinking, dude, just do what all the right, just start a right wing podcast, start a grifty podcast. And then I remembered, no, he has a show. And in fact, it turns out he's not entirely sure whether he cares more about practicing law than just continuing with this. So they had his last week, the hearing to debate whether he might be able to do law again is going to happen this October. So there was a scheduling session on Thursday. The DC Bar Board of Professional Responsibility hearing committee chair Robert Burney said he's planning to open the hearing on October 24th. Now here's what the Giuliani team wanted. They wanted to truncate the proceedings each day so that he could keep doing his daily radio talk show on WABC AM. He said the radio show is currently his only source of income since his right to practice law in New York was suspended by a court there in June 2021. Well, do you think that regular people get to like contort legal proceedings to fit their job? That's not generally how that works. How long is this gonna last? You can have a fill-in. Have Francesca do it. She's got a lot of practice. You can have people fill in. I'm sure Yaz, you can talk law. You head over there to his show for a few days.
Yeah, if he can pay me, I'll do it. Mm. Yeah, it's so funny because like I just finished doing a video about quiet quitting and how all these generations of people are having a hard time finding work that is meaningful to them, that can help them contribute to society in a meaningful way while getting paid to do it. And you know, I left Rudy Giuliani completely out of my analysis, and maybe that was a mistake on my part because he really is suffering. He's really struggling out there.
Apparently. Anyway, so we're gonna touch base back at the end of October to see if he might be able to get back into court, I suppose. I have a feeling that at this point he will end up in court once again, but probably on the wrong side of the bench. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our last break of the hour. We come back, we have a GOP defection, someone leaving the Republican Party, as well as Jesse Waters just being the absolute worst. We'll have all that and more after this. Okay, everybody, let's get into a bit more. We're running so low on time. Okay, let's do it. A Colorado state senator has defected from his party, and this time it's a Republican transferring over to the Democratic Party. You can see Kevin Priola in this shot right here, serves in the Colorado State Senate, and he's apparently done with the Republican Party. He sent out a letter, which this was how it was tweeted. Never be able to read that text on this platform. If you could go to that, you'll see. But anyway, we have excerpts from you. He says, I have become increasingly worried about our planet and the climate crisis we are facing. Interesting. The Republican Party I joined decades ago created national parks, preserved federal lands, and protected wildlife. President Nixon signed the legislation that created the EPA, which is one of the weirdest historic facts, but it is true. Today, my Republican colleagues would rather deny the existence of human-caused climate change then take action. Okay, well, this is not the only thing that he cites for why he's leaving the Republican Party, but we are gonna evaluate each of his reasons because of course, he's leaving the Republican Party now. They didn't start rejecting climate change as a concept now. They've been doing that for some time. Now, he goes on to say, like many Coloradans, I watched the events of January 6th with horror. I felt that clearly this would be the last straw and that my party would now finally distance itself from Donald Trump and the political environment he created. Week after week and month after month, I waited for that response. It never came. Fear-mongering to raise money or motivate voters is nothing new, but it has been taken to a dangerous and destabilizing level. I cannot continue to be part of a political party that is okay with a violent attempt to overturn a free and fair election and continues to peddle claims that the 2020 election was stolen. So I don't know, Yaz, what do you think? Like the climate change stuff, like they've never accepted the science of climate change or never admitted that they understand it. They know that it's true. And January 6th was like a year and a half. Like, is this a fair amount of time to wait for a response?
You know, I will never fault someone for getting to where they need to be, regardless of how long it takes them to get there. And there's a lot of reasons why people would maybe hold out and make a decision. We've all stayed in relationships way longer than we've ever needed to, right? We knew it was toxic. We knew we needed to get out, but we just didn't because it was easier to stay or whatever the reason is, right? The reasons that he's citing for wanting to leave the Republican Party are very, very valid. And there are a lot of concerns that I think regular people, not politicians, regular Republicans are grappling with and have been grappling with throughout the Trump presidency, especially in the last couple of years since the insurrection. They're seeing a lot of things that are getting harder and harder to deny. Unfortunately, a lot of those people also watch a lot of Fox News and they watch a lot of other very right-wing media outlets. And they listen to people like Alex Jones and before him, Rush Limbaugh and whoever else. And so it really is like a very inundated, all-encompassing way of living your life. It's, you know, these are my ideals, these are my values. It's hard to get away from that, not just politically, but even in your personal life. So good for him for finally getting away from it. But then on top of that, we have to think of what that means for the Democratic Party. If we have these Republicans who are now saying, I'm a Democrat, do you adopt the entire Democratic platform now? Or do you still hold on to, you know, more traditional fiscal Republican ideologies, right? Or do you adopt things like, are you suddenly on board with healthcare for all? Are you suddenly on board with, you know, expanding civil rights and vote, you know, the voting rights and things like that? So I think that would be interesting to see how he adopts the rest of the platform as a former Republican.
Yeah, and I can't answer the specifics about how he's going to be on those, but I know, like, we've already got some experience with some, not even full defections, but like, so Liz Cheney obviously is a critic of Donald Trump, willing to hold him accountable or whatever, and specifically over January 6th and the rejection of the results of the 2020 election. But she also doesn't support the Democrats' voting legislation. So like, she will say that this is about democracy and the future of our government, but doesn't act like it when the actual vote comes. I'm going to read one more quote from him and then we'll debate a bit more. He says, even if there continue to be issues that I disagree with the Democratic Party on, there is too much at stake right now for Republicans to be in charge. He says he has decided to align with truth over conspiracy, which is good. That's my position. We need Democrats in charge because our planet and our democracy depend on it. So look, if he was trying to specifically appeal to me, I guess he's chosen the two best things to do that on. And if I don't know, like the Democrats are already in control of the state Senate. That's not going to switch with him, you know, flipping or whatever, but that's good. If this helped maybe to pass good state level, you know, environmental regulations or something like that, then that's good. But I think you raised a lot of great points. Can he be counted on to be in the right position on a bunch of these other issues? I don't know why. I mean, even in this statement about why he's leaving the Republican Party, he's critiquing them on a couple of important things. But fundamentally, is it changing his view on campaign finance or corporate regulation or all of these things? I mean, who knows? He's not even touching on those things. What I do suspect, though, is that he will get more support from the Democrats than like a strong progressive running for state Senate in Colorado. Like they will love this guy so much more.
Yeah, you really have to wonder about what it's going to do to the dynamics of our two-party system, which is already, as we've seen, very, very delicate, very fragile, very upset right now, right? We have people on very, very opposite ends of the spectrum. And the fact that we have a Republican who's now switching parties just because the most extreme part of his party has taken over to the point that people who aren't backed by Trump really aren't getting very far in different primary elections. I mean, we've seen it kind of both ways here and there, but a lot of people who have actually stood out against Trump, they're losing their primaries, they're losing support. And we saw that with Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney is very much a Republican, but all she did was say, I'm not on board with Donald Trump, and she lost her primary.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of the show. But if you're listening, if you're on YouTube or on Twitch or other platforms, we've got a lot more to talk about, including we're going to be hitting the metaverse and Mark Zuckerberg. And we're going to be having a lot more fun besides. So don't go anywhere. We're going to take a quick break, but then Yaz and I will be back. Cinderessa over on Twitch says, I'm happy John is back. I love Franny and I support her endeavors. You mofos trying to shame John isn't right. He is delightful. Praise his guest hosts on their platform. I'm here for you, John. Thank you. Someone's finally got my back. Goldie Fawn says, hashtag Iderola for Prez. Goldie, how do you think that would work in practice? You know the shows I've hosted. Anyway.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Iderola. I'll see you soon.